At Maxology, we build on your strengths. Guided by the principles of systemic work, we help individuals and teams to achieve personal and organizational goals. In interviews with inspirational guests, we share their experiences from working with teams and organizations. Today, my guest is Jan Jakob Stam. Jan Jakob is an organizational and management consultant, internationally recognized as a leader in the field of systemic work. He has been passionate about systemic work with organizations since 1996 and has delivered the work in more than 30 countries. As a biologist, manager, consultant, founder of several companies, and now TeamConnect, it is his curiosity that drives him. Jan Jakob has founded the Dutch Bert Hellinger Institute, officially opened by Bert Hellinger. He also has passion for paragliding, and he lives with his family in the Netherlands. In this podcast, we will talk about what the whole that is called team or organization needs in order to thrive. And with that said, let me welcome Jan Jakob Stam.
Thank you.
Jan Jakob, your extensive experience with systemic work in organizations is for many, many well known. At one moment, however, you came to a decision to concise all that experience into a simple instrument called TeamConnect. So to help our listeners to better understand what is TeamConnect, let's start with that moment when you, together with your colleague, Des van den Hoff, started to develop the tool. So how was it born?
Yeah, I need to make a little bit a detour, because in companies there are many different system approaches are used, and one of these system approaches is called, like, what we call now systemic work. And I think in general it's very helpful for teams, for organizations, to understand a little bit about systems and how systems work and what they need in order to feel well with them, in order that they can be successful, in order that they can be led well. And this method of systemic work originally is more known by a kind of method called a constellation. But a constellation is a method, and it requires a certain setting, a certain context. But behind this all, it's a vast knowledge about what systems need and how they work. And very early, I was aware that the future of systemic work will not be using on Monday morning meetings, management meetings, this form of a constellation. But it will be using systemic knowledge, systemic skills, systemic interventions that you can do in every conversation, in every team meeting, in every decision you take as a manager or as an organization. So I was looking already for a long time, are there alternatives for this method called a constellation? And one of the alternatives was a simple questionnaire to assess what does a system need, what is the present state of a system, do people have enough sense of belonging, is there enough exchange, can products successfully land in the outside world, etc., etc. So I was looking already for a long time for that. And then at a certain moment, I noticed that one of our colleagues, Spanish colleagues, she had programmed, she has a startup actually called Team EQ. And I had a look at that. And then I thought, oh, it could be a little bit more systemic. And then the idea suddenly came to develop something myself and to to have that programmed. And Dace was there at the right moment to ask me some questions. So it was slumbering in me, this whole idea of a systemic questionnaire for organizations. And then Dace had just two or three great, great questions. And that was the moment it was born. And then we together felt, oh, when we develop this together, it might have, yeah, it might come into existence. It might start. And then I remember that on a winter holiday, I simply developed on paper a kind of questionnaire. And I asked my son to complete that questionnaire. My son was working in a transportation company in the Netherlands. And one of the results was that my son said, oh, now I realize, actually, I'm part of three different teams, where I always thought I'm part of one team. So my main problem is, how do I relate to one team? How I relate to the second team? And now do I relate to the third team? So I need to talk to my boss because we need clarity there. And then I thought, oh, if my son, after 10 minutes, this is the result of such a questionnaire, that he becomes aware of his position in the larger organization, and it's helpful for them, for him and for them. Then I thought, oh, this is there's a lot of potential in such a questionnaire. And then I decided to go on.
I see. So Team Connect is a survey. It's an online survey for teams.
Yes. Yes.
For teams. So one of the principles that the tool works with is looking at the team, or team meaning system that you have been referring to. So it's looking at the team or organization from the perspective of the whole. What does that mean? And how can this be helpful?
Well, more and more I realize, and it was again, I realized when looking at the Formula One races of this year, where Dutchman did extremely well, it's not just one person, it's not the manager, it's not the owner, it's in this case not the driver of the Formula One car, but it's the team as a whole who is creating the success. And I think that's a general movement and general awareness, and also in companies, that it's not just a leader, not just one person, not just the personalities, but it's the whole that can create a success. And one of the key things is, how can the whole, so all the people, but also the concepts, also the ways of working, also the machines they might be using, how can the whole be more than the sum of the parts? And that's the challenge. The other thing is, the whole called a team is something invisible, but it's there. It is like an entity in itself. And the whole is usually acting different than the sum of the parts. So pretty often I meet a team of directors where each of the directors is in good shape and is doing well, but the whole called directory team, it might be stuck. So the parts are moving and doing well, but the whole is stuck. And then the whole pretty quickly is less than the sum of the parts. So then the question is, for what is it a solution, so to speak, that the whole is stuck? And can we somehow unplug the stuckness in order that the whole becomes more than the sum of the parts again? So it's an eye-opener that this invisible thing called the whole of a team, that it is an entity of its own, and it can do much better than the sum of the parts. But in many cases, the whole is doing less than the sum of the parts. So one of the first things that we are interested in this Team Connect survey is to figure out, how is the whole doing relating to the parts and the sum of the parts?
And so how does Team Connect do that? What topics, areas are covered within the survey, so that you or those that are using Team Connect survey as an instrument for
yes.
organizations, How do they get into that picture?
Well, there are at the moment there are six sets of questions, and there's one set of question is more related to the people in the team. For example, there are questions like, do you feel enough acknowledged? Can your talents flow? Are you clear about your place in a team, or is there a lot of hassle of about your task or your roles in a team? And the thing behind that is, when there's unclarity about your place in the team, or you feel not really sure about it, it's energy drain number one. And just for reasons of effectiveness and efficiency of a team, all the energy going into the question, how do I relate to my colleagues, or what actually is my function, and is it clear or is it not so clear? That requires a lot of energy, and that energy cannot be used for, well, for production, so to speak. And then there are sets of questions about, for example, the capabilities of the team as a whole. For example, the capability of taking decisions, or the capability of being proud, the capability of forming one whole, all those capabilities that are required about for the whole in order that the team functions well. And there is a set of questions about the patterns in the team. Patterns are also these invisible things. But patterns are pretty strong. And the function of patterns is, of course, to create predictability, stability, and continuity. But sometimes patterns are helpful, and sometimes patterns are becoming counterproductive. But these are usually can feel the result of a pattern in a team, but it's not so visible. So this set of questions about patterns in a team, they increase the awareness of, well, how is that for our team? And is it helpful or is it not helpful? So Team Connect basically does two things. It creates more awareness for the moment you complete a survey, and it's an invitation also to take responsibility for each of the team members, to take responsibility for, well, your life, your work, your position in a team, and taking your place there. And at the same time, it's an assessment for how is the whole doing. So that's basically the two things that the survey is doing.
As you were describing, what kind of questions are there in the tool, and what is the focus area of this online survey? What is your experience? Because those questions, from my subjective perspective, find as questions that are not necessarily or not usually being discussed within the teams, or managers usually or team members don't have this as a, you know, central point of dialogue in their meetings. So my question is, from your experience, can respondents understand? How easy is it for them to respond to those questions?
Well, in the about 120 teams we did now, I think only a couple of times some people said, I do not really understand the question, or it does not resonate somehow. And yeah, sure, the questions are a little bit different, but we aim to have them in a language that people somehow can understand. And it's true. That's partly the strength of the survey, that they're not the usual questions. They're not questions like, how many hours did you work? They're not questions like, did you reach your goal of today or this week? They're not questions about KPIs, because that's usually already known in organizations. So it would be a little bit redundant to ask again about it. So Team Connect mainly asks about the conditions that teams can flourish. And basically, like you have things on the surface and you have things in the undercurrent. So basically, Team Connects ask about the undercurrent. And the undercurrent is usually stronger when you swim than what's on the surface.
There are many different ways how can the team or organization intervene in order to address their teams or problems, right? As you said, sometimes it can be, okay, we are not reaching our goals, so we do something to make it better, or we need to develop our people, so we do training, or we hire an expert, or we have a brainstorming, or we take some you know, external help. So my question here is, when is it useful to go for a Team Connect?
Well, there could be many reasons, but I would say the main reason is when you feel there's something going on in a team and we do not understand it. It's a little bit functioning less than it could be. Or what I recently had, two teams who are the same. One team is delivering and the other team is not delivering. And even if you place people from the well-delivering team to the not-delivering team, it doesn't change. So then the question was, the non-delivering teams, there must be going on in that team. What could be going on there? So that's really a good reason to use the Team Connect survey to explore what's in that undercurrent that we want to understand. So it's not aimed immediately to find solutions or to have a training or to have other, what we call first order interventions, meaning you try to solve the problem by doing something. This is more about understanding the problem and then acting after you understood why is it as it is. Mm-hmm. So that's that in general are good reasons to use Team Connect. But also, the point of departure, and I really want to put some emphasis on it. Usually, point of departure to do something with a team is when there's a problem. This is also an extremely good tool, just as a checkup. When you feel a company is ready for its next phase or ready for development or ready for introducing new products or ready for even maybe to be transformative. So when you feel it's ready for something new, then Team Connect is also a very good tool. For example, very soon I will do Team Connect in a Swiss company who feel we are ready for a next phase. But what the next phase, how it looks like, we have no idea. And we would like to explore Team Connect to sense where is the potential in this company and what could be good for a next step. And I think this is something also undervalued in companies. Like what could be the next phase and how to explore that. So the starting point for Team Connect is not at all, the only starting point is not at all that we have a problem, but the starting point also could be there's a lot of potential and what could we do in order that the potential could be released.
And with that said, when it comes to the survey results, how different experience this might be for the team? So when I really have one of those either problems or I think about the future and the potential of our movement in the organization or team, well, how different, what can be the benefit of looking at the, you know, team as a whole thanks to the Team Connect results?
Well, so what we do at the end of the survey is we have a session with the team where we upgrade the results to information about what is the present state of the team, where is the potential, and what could be done in order to reach that potential. I remember that we had a team of a media multinational, a directory team, and what we told them is somehow you are in what we call a first order state, meaning that the directors and the team as a whole usually is trying to solve problems from their departments of within the organization. While this team was meant to be transformative and to create transformation from the inside in the company and the corporate as a whole. So when we told them, you are in what we call first order state, it was partly recognition for them, also acknowledgement, partly also a shock, because then they realized we are in a different mode than we want to be, than where our strength is. And so then our question was, for which good reasons did you sacrifice your capabilities to be transformative inside the cooperative? And then they realized, oh shit, we are so dedicated for the cash cow part of this company that in order to keep the cash cow alive, we sacrificed our qualities of being transformative. So instead of being a renewing team of directors, actually, we suddenly found ourselves in keeping the cash cow alive, so being more connected to the past and the present instead of with innovation. So, and then the simple intervention was actually the question, so could it be possible for you to say no to the cash cow? It's not our task to keep you alive. It's someone else's task to keep the cash cow alive. And in the meantime, we say goodbye to the cash cow. And I know this sounds strange, but I think every manager will understand this language. And we take our place of innovation again.
Jan Jakob, what does it take from your perspective for the team and the team members to be ready to understand those type of interventions, to be ready to actually make that movement?
Yes. Well, of course, there's a general question, is a team capable of receiving new information? So sometimes, recently we had a team where it was so unclear if the directors would stay or they were reducing from a team of 11 to a team of 5. Well, when there is so much uncertainty, that's not a good moment to do the Team Connect survey. It needs a little bit a state where they can be receptive for new information, can connect a little bit to the whole. So when a team is too much in a survival state, theoretically, you could do Team Connect, but when the results of Team Connect cannot land in a team, it doesn't make sense to do it. And then it's better to wait a couple of months. And that's what we also sometimes advise.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, because I was going to ask, is it me as a manager who should feel whether me and my team is ready? Or is it more the consultant or the facilitator of the Team Connect results?
Well, of course, it's in conversation with the manager. You need to ask this question. Is your team, is the team capable to receive new information, and is the team capable to be decisive? Because the main question after any Team Connect session, feed forward session, and sharing the results, the first question is, do you want to go on as you are doing now, or do you want to make a change in your team? And of course, everybody says, yes, we want to make a change in a team, but that doesn't make sense when the team is in a survival state to make a change, because it would not land, and it would only cause more distress and more fragmentation. And that's a little bit to the team manager, or to have sense. Sure.
Few times you have mentioned survival mode. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that term? How would you describe survival mode?
Well, for example, when it's not clear about how, well, the same example, you have a team of 11 people. They know there will be a reorganization soon. It's not clear who of us will stay, who of us will have to leave. Well, then it's very logic that each of the team members will be fighting for his or her place, either here, either somewhere else. So then, as a result, the team will fragment into 11 individuals, 11 persons, even not maybe not even 11 different functions, but 11 different persons. And then, yeah, and sometimes teams as a whole are also in a survival mode. Well, when the survival of the organization as a whole is a little bit at risk, and as a whole they are fighting for their place, and then it's also, well, you could do Team Connect then. So when it's still one whole, you could do the Team Connect survey, but when the team is really fragmented, I would be careful.
And me as a manager, how can I feel we are one whole? What do I sense? What do I perceive? How do I feel that we are one whole?
Well, I would say in general, there is a sense of flow. There is a sense of rest. Of course, there are the daily problems, but you feel we overcome them easily. There's a lot of flow. There's a lot of interaction in the team. Yeah. It's more we are like one vessel altogether than we are a flock of little boats going in different directions. And yeah, and when the whole is more than the sum of the parts, it's extremely yeah, there's an extremely lot of flow in the whole, I would say. So it's not so easy to answer that question.
Yeah,
It's
could we say?
more a sensation, than you can measure that directly.
Yes, exactly. Can
Yeah.
we say there is a certain sense of a team? I
Yes.
feel, I perceive the team.
Yes. And you know, it's also there's a sense of ownership about the whole. And there's something bigger than the parts. And for example, when you have a decision in such a team, you feel it's not a decision of one person or a majority. So and it sounds strange, but the entity, the decision-making unit, is the team as a whole, even if it's the team leader or some people in the team who express the decision. And you feel there's a movement in the team as a whole. It's either expanding, either it's in a movement, so at least it's not stuck, it's not rigid, it's not getting smaller.
And usually when teams ask for help, what they really describe are some symptoms happening in the team. So, for example, conflict, resistance, or passivity of the team members. They would like to get rid of those symptoms usually, right? They come and, you know, we don't want that in our team.
Yes.
From your experience, what can be the good use of those symptoms? Or what can be, if I ask differently, what can be a good attitude to a symptom? What is a helpful attitude, position, stance to a symptom?
Yes. So there are several attitudes. If they're simply a machine broken, it needs to be repaired. I think that's a healthy attitude, and you repair it so you can go on. If there's one person ill in a team, of course you wish him or her well and welcome when she or he comes back and others take over that work. If many people often are ill in a team, more than you could expect, then there's a question, so that could be a symptom. And then there's another attitude could be, what is this symptom trying to tell us? So once I had a very interesting case where there's an extremely high sick leave in a municipality, and they had already tried many, many, many different things, like coaching, like reducing the workload, well, all these things, and it was not enough. And then the other attitude is trying to understand, what is this high sick leave trying to tell, or for what is it? Basically, you could say, for what is the symptom a solution? It's the same in the human body. If you often have certain symptoms you do not understand, you also can wonder, what are these symptoms trying to tell? For what are they a solution? And in this case, it was really interesting, because there was a concept in this municipality called freedom. It's really a little bit a rebellious city, and it has been a rebellious city for centuries and centuries and centuries, and also a place where refugees always were welcome for centuries and centuries. So this concept of freedom is extremely important in this municipality, and individual workers were prepared to sacrifice their health and their personal freedom for this big concept of freedom with a capital F. And so that's an attitude, like how to look at the symptoms, but also where do the symptoms belong? Like pretty often, symptoms in a team are just a reflection of unresolved issues in the larger organization. And that's a good thing to keep in the back of your head. And very general, when you have a team and there's a symptom like conflict or tension, and people are very willing to solve the conflict and they talk to each other, and half a year later, the same tension or the same conflict is there again. Maybe not between the same people, but in the team again. If this happens two or three times, then it's a good reason to look, oh, maybe is this conflict, this tension, is a reflection of an unresolved tension outside the team. This happens a lot. And of course, the difficult thing is the team is not capable to resolve the tension outside, but it's good to know at least. And this brings me immediately to do the the position of middle management. The position of middle management in companies is highly undervalued because middle managers are confronted with symptoms in their teams which are not caused in their teams, but they are caused somewhere outside the teams. And they're not in a position to solve these issues outside, but they need to be able to create a context where the team still can function and do not suffer too much from the unresolved issues in the larger companies. And that's really a big, big, big task. So middle managers, again, they are highly undervalued, and there is a tendency in companies to make the span of control of middle managers larger and larger and larger, which is really a pity, because this is systemically seen a very complicated position.
So, Janjako, what needs to happen, or what does it take for organizations to, maybe I just call it very simply, to have more systemic leadership lenses when looking at their situation, when actually leading their organization?
Yeah. So, in general, human beings are systemic animals. They have a good sense of what it takes for a system to flourish well. And systemic leadership, in fact, is not something new. It's something that is already there. So it's not a new theory and not a new management tool. So basically, systemic leadership requires to be a little bit more aware of what a system needs. And the first thing to be aware of is systems are leading us usually stronger than we are leading systems. I remember the CEO of Shell saying, the new CEO of Shell saying, yeah, you know, when I say the company needs to go to the left, then the company as a whole might even go to the right or straight on. So the system is leading me sometimes more than I'm leading the system. And then the next step is to understand what do systems need in order to flourish. And that's quite a lot. So it needs to keep an eye on all the parts. Do they feel enough part of the whole? But when they are too much obeying all the time, then they lose their capability for innovation. So how much rebellion do we need in our company? How much connection to the outside world do we need in our company, but also how much interaction inside the company do we need? It requires for leaders, for example, the question, and then I go to a simple archetype. Archetype I use from herds of horses. So like in herds of horses, there are two archetypical functions, position. One is the function of the leading mare. And the leading mare is the female horse that leads the whole herd to where there are new opportunities, where there's food. So that's a form of leading the way to something new. The other typical function in herds of horses is that of the, how would you call that, the pushing stallion. So the stallion is at the back of the herd, and when there's unsafety or when there's a threat, the stallion pushes the whole herd in a direction to where it's safe. So only that notion, what do I need to be as a leader? It's not just And it's depending from the context. So what is my team needing in a moment? And it could need one position, it could need another position. And well, this understanding and this flexibility to change your position as a leader and to keep an eye on the whole and to keep an eye on the outside world at the same time, well, it requires a lot. But at the same time, the moment you understand it, it's a lot of fun.
So where would you recommend to start? Maybe this is not an easy question, but yes, what you have described seems to be quite big, a lot. So what can be, however, the good starting point for me as a manager or leader who would like to really learn how to look and lead systemically, what can be the first step for me, maybe that I can try?
Well, yes. Okay, well, when you as a manager, when you look, let's say first you look at your team. One important question is, who is the end user of the products or services of your team? If the end users could be, maybe for some of them, it's the customers, for others, it's the shareholders, and for another part of the team, it could be the team manager, for example. If the end users, if the idea of the end users are quite different in a team, then it could mean that whatever you decide, one part of the team interprets your decision in a different way than the other part of the team of the third part. So clarity about for whom or what are we doing what we do in the end is important. Then a team needs an identity. And the identity is more than we are just a sales team. Identity is more the question, what are we for the rest of the organization? What are we for the outside world? The more a team has an identity other than just the name of the team, the more it can be coherent. So then a third important thing is the place of the team as a whole inside the larger company, is this acknowledged and is it stable? If the place of your team is not really stable or not really acknowledged by the top of the organization, then it's very hard that the products of your team or the services of the team, that they land in the organization or the outside world. So I think these things would be the first things to start. And then after that, I would say, when you connect to your team as a whole, does it need more clarity? Does it need to be more a closed system? Does it need more protection? Does it need more autonomy? Do we need to close the boundaries a bit? Or does it need more connection inside? Does it need more interaction? Does it need more co-creation and cooperation? So it's basically looking at the team as a whole. Yes, the place in the larger company, the identity, the end users, and then you focus more on what's needed inside the team.
Thank you, Jan Jakub. This is, I believe, very practical. So thank you very much for all of your insights. I think the examples you provided are quite tangible for our listeners. So my last question towards the end of our conversation is, the year 2003 is in front of us. So what would you wish to the teams and organizations?
Well, you know, there's a lot of crisis going on in the world at the moment. And sometimes what's going on in the outside world, so it's not just a war in Ukraine, but there are many crises at the moment. And the pandemic was maybe a crisis in itself, But at the same time, the pandemic also made clear, much clearer, what was just under the surface. So it might be in 23 that we are all happy when we can pick up business as usual again a little bit more. But when you do that, it's most likely that the patterns you knew so well, that you will continue with those patterns and those habits. Just because you're happy, you can produce again, or you're more or less a little bit safe again. I think 23 would be a great moment before you fully continue with what you have done already and what you're really good at, to review, are what we are doing, are our habits, are our patterns, are they capable to face the next 10 years? Or do we need to review this? So, what I would wish every team is to take a moment to lean back. And this could take 1 or 2 months in a team to really reflect on where have we been, where is our potential, and where do we want to go? And my sense is, take the chance for information. And now I'm going to say something maybe different than where many other people are. In crisis, we are trying to heal our wounds. We're trying to survive. We're trying to stay in the here and now. But when you really connect with the subtle signs of a future that is approaching us, I think a good place would be to connect with what wants the future world, what does it want from us? So as if innerly, you could step maybe a couple of years ahead. And it's not about setting goals, but it's about sensing what's a future society, future world, really wanting from us. And I think this is what I would grant many, many companies at the moment, and many institutions as well. So also governmental institutions. Yeah.
Thank you. So, if you don't mind, I finish our dialogue here with this insightful question from you, from your end, and with thank you for finding the time.
Yes, my pleasure.
And I believe our listeners will also get exactly the information they need from this conversation. And what needs to land will land with them. So thank you very much, Jan Jakob.
Yeah, you're most welcome.
Thank you.